And now, here's WGN Radio President and General Manager, Jimmy DiCastro.
Hello, everybody. Greetings to those of you in your cars, on your treadmills, at your desks, wrapping gifts around the fire. We are about to go old school. A cast and crew that numbers 36 are going to create for you a live radio drama. We're calling it A Christmas Carol Hankner. And you may wonder why. That's because today we are beginning to celebrate, as many of you are this holiday. In June of 2014, WGN Radio will hit a major milestone, 90 years of broadcasting. But prior to that event, on February 24th, we'll celebrate another amazing feat. It'll be the 50th anniversary of one of our most treasured employees. On that date, 1964, a beautiful young lady walked into our lives. Executive Assistant Carol Hankner, she joined the GN family. And in so many ways, she's carried us on her svelte shoulders ever since. She's been there for us, and she's been there for you, just like you, our listeners, through thick and thin. So here's to a one-of-a-kind presentation for a one-of-a-kind person. Please enjoy A Christmas Carol Hankner. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Carol, for your loyalty and love, and God bless you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
The WGN Not Ready for Drive Time Players presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, the tale of a miserly man who comes to realize the true spirit of Christmas. When this story first appeared over 160 years ago, few observed Christmas other than at church. Few employers gave workers off for the holiday, and the jolly country celebrations of the past were largely forgotten in the cities. But this little story helped to transform Christmas from a staid religious holiday into the joyous season of faith, feasting, and goodwill that it is today. Charles Dickens' Ghost Story of Christmas opens in London on a cold, snowy December 24th in the year 1843.
Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. Ebenezer Scrooge was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, a hard-hearted miser, secret and self-contained, solitary as an oyster, a morose and lonely man who consorted with nobody but himself. On this evening, the office of Scrooge and Marley was shrouded in cold, bleak, biting weather. External heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No warmth could warm. No wintry weather could chill him. No wind that blew was bitterer than he.
Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when he had come
and say, oh, time.
Bah, 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 humbug. Merry Christmas indeed. Be gone, you miserable little beggars. Take your infernal Christmas carols and get away from my door.
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas, though, sir.
And you, nephew. What right do you have to be merry? You're poor enough. Christmas, bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug? Uncle, you don't mean that, I'm sure. What right have you to be dismal about Christmas? You're rich enough. Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be, Fred, when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding, ha! And buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Keep Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, then leave me alone. Much good may it do you. Much good it's ever done you.
But Christmas time is a good time, Uncle. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time when men and women open their shut-up hearts freely. And think of the others, if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas.
You there, Cratchit! Bob Cratchit, let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. Now return to your accounting immediately.
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us for Christmas dinner tomorrow. Kate would love to meet you.
Kate? Oh yes, your wife. And why did you get married again?
Well, because I fell in love, Uncle.
Oh, yes, love, because you fell in love. With a woman as penniless as yourself. Oh, Fred, good afternoon to you.
But you never visited before. My marriage. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Very well, then. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. And Cratchit, see my nephew out.
Oh, yeah, this way, Mr. Fred. And a Merry Christmas to you.
And to you and your family, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit? And your children? And especially your youngest? You know, the little lame boy.
Oh, yeah, Tim, sir. Tiny Tim. He's getting better, thank you for asking. Happy Christmas to you.
My clerk with 15 shillings a week and a wife and a family. Talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam.
Two to see you, mister.
Good day, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my partner, has been dead these 7 years. In fact, he died 7 years ago this very night. I am Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, well, at this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we seek charity for the poor and destitute.
You see, many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, I was afraid something had stopped them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Well, they scarcely furnish Christian cheer, Mr. Scrooge. A few of us wish to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We do so now because it is a time when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. So what shall I put you down for?
Nothing!
Oh, you wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry as well. I help to support the prisons and workhouses. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Oh, but many can't go there.
Yes, many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
I see. So the firm of Scrooge and Marley declines.
It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Now, good evening, then.
Very well. You have made your views quite clear. Good evening to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge, it's 7 o'clock, sir, and it is Christmas Eve.
What? Yes, 7 o'clock. So I suppose you want all day tomorrow off, eh, Cratchit?
If quite convenient, sir.
Well, it's not convenient at all. And it's not fair. If I were to dock you half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used. I'll be bound, and yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work whatsoever.
Tis but once a year, sir.
Poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. We'll be here all the earlier the next morning, Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, I will, sir. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, indeed.
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern and walked home through the rolling fog and the bitter cold. He silently passed the urchins crowded round fires in the street, trying to keep warm. The icy Scrooge trudged along through the dark streets. But just as he reached the door of his dismal house, he thought he heard something calling.
Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
It was the voice of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, whose ghostly face appeared on the door knocker. Scrooge hurried inside, closed the door, locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He checked the sitting room, the bedroom, the lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Secured against surprise, Scrooge put on his dressing gown and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. When suddenly...
What? What? What is it? Every bell in the house must be ringing. What in the world... It's nonsense. It's humbug. It's all humbug. What? Wait, what is that? What is that? Someone's in the cellar. But the doors are locked. Double locked. Something is coming up the stairs. Closer, it's outside my door. No, it's humbug. I won't believe it. It's humbug, I say!
Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
Now, what do you want with me? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me, Scrooge? Why do you doubt your senses?
No, it's a disorder of the stomach that makes them cheats. Why, you're no ghost. You're a bit of bad beef, a blot of mustard, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more gravy than of grave about you, whoever, whatever you are. Bah, humbug, I tell you. Huh. Ah! Mercy, I believe you. I believe you, I must. Oh, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me? Why do spirits walk the earth? Why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life... It is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared and turned to happiness. Ah!
You are fettered, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life, link by link, yard by yard. I am chained by cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers. Witness the weight and length of strong chain you bear yourself, Scrooge. It is a ponderous chain.
Yet I see no chain. I see no chain.
You shall on the day of your death. Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. Oh, now I'm doomed to wander without rest or peace. No regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused.
But, Jacob, you were always a good man of business.
Business? Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. Oh, and it is at this time of the rolling year that I suffer most.
Jacob, I'm sorry for you, Jacob. Is there anything I can do for you, Jacob?
For me, it is too late. But I have come to warn you of a hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. The second, the next night at the same hour. The third, upon the next night at the last stroke of 12. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Ah! Ebenezer, look out this window! That poor woman and her infant huddled on the doorstep below. Look, that you may see for your own sake.
It's ghosts. Hundreds of ghosts chained Just like yourself, Jacob, they surround the woman. But they're not haunting her, they're pleading. Doesn't she see them? Why do these ghosts lament, Jacob? Why do they wail?
They seek to aid her. They seek to do good in human matters, but have lost their power forever. They wail at unceasing torture and remorse. Beware this cruel fate, Ebenezer. Beware! Beware! And you! Ah!
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, still in his robe. Was Marley's visit a dream or not? He decided it was a dream and nothing more. But suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold?
I am not an overacting ham like Marley's ghost. I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past, critic?
Your past. I come for your welfare. Rise and walk with me.
Out the window? But I am mortal. I am liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand on your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. A little market town appeared in the distance with its bridge, its church, and winding river. It was a clear, cold winter day with snow upon the ground.
Do you recognize this place, Scrooge?
Good heaven, I was bred in this place. I was a boy here. Look. Look, Spirit, that coach going by, my schoolmates, Charles and John. They're on the Norfolk coach, taking them home for the Christmas holiday. Hello, Johnny! Johnny, it's me, Ebenezer!
That's right, little Ebenezer. Wait! These are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Come.
It's my old schoolhouse. But this wasn't a place of learning. This was more like a prison.
On Christmas Eve, the school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still. A lonely boy, reading beside a feeble fire. Do you know him?
Yes. Yes, I know him. I am that child. I am that child alone. My only companions were books, Ali Baba, Robinson Crusoe. Oh, poor boy. Oh, I wish, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas. Come.
Why, it's me. It's me years later, but still away at this dismal school and again alone on Christmas.
Ebenezer! Ebenezer?
It's Fan. It's Fan, my sister, my beloved Fan.
Oh, dear, dear brother. I have come to bring you home. Yes, home. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be that home's like heaven. We're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world. Come with me. Let us go.
Your sister was always a delicate creature whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart. She died a woman, but had, as I think, children.
One child, my nephew Fred. My, how he does resemble his mother.
Come to another Christmas past, a celebration.
Why, it's Fezziwig's warehouse. I apprenticed here, and it's old Fezziwig. Oh, look at his tie.
Bless his heart. It's Fezziwig alive again at one of his Christmas parties.
Yo-ho there, Ebenezer! Dick, no more work tonight. Christmas Eve, ha-ha! Join in the festivities. Merry Christmas, all. Come and dance, hilly-ho! Hand half-rounded back again, down the middle and up again. Round and round, advance and retire, old top couple bowing back. New top couple start off again, advance and retire. Both hands to your partner, bow and curtsy. Corkscrew, thread the needle, and back again to your place, Ebenezer. Well done.
Do you recognize yourself, Scrooge? A young man with a twinkle in your eye and a future before you. You're quite enjoying yourself.
Not as much as Fezziwig. The man needs help. Oh, it was a marvelous party, with cake and punch and a cold roast and mince pies and plenty of beer. Ah, Fezziwig? Look at old Fezziwig, how he dances. It's glorious. Oh, what a jolly time we once had.
It was a small matter for old Fezziwig to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small matter? Small indeed.
He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money, and look, is it so much that he deserves this praise?
It isn't that. It isn't that, Spirit. Fezziwig has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toll. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a... It cost a fortune.
What is something bothering you, Scrooge?
No. Although I would like to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now.
Scrooge, my time grows short. Quick, several years later.
It's Belle. Belle is beautiful as ever.
A penniless girl who loved you, Scrooge.
And I her. Didn't matter what she had. Didn't matter that she had no dowry. We were so happy together.
Until your career with Jacob Marley came between you. As you gained, so you lost. Do you see yourself? You're older now, a man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Quick, get the thesaurus. Your eyes are greedy, the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
You would think a man of your experience, Spirit, would know what avarice meant. Use it in a sentence, and I'll spell it for you. Spare me this, Spirit. Spare me this. Not this, Spirit. No.
This music box is a beautiful gift, Ebenezer, but I realize I matter little to you, very little. To protect yourself from a hard and cruel world, you have become hard and cruel in response. I have tried to cheer you and comfort you, but another idol has displaced me.
Oh, Belle, what idol could displace you? No, Belle!
You now worship a golden idol. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one. Oh, Ebenezer, you've become another man. You've become Bob.
But Belle, I wanted security. I wanted success for you, Belle.
I seek tenderness, not riches. Therefore, even though it is Christmas, I release you from our engagement with a full heart. For the love of him you once were.
No, Belle, no. Is it Bob that's come between us? No, Belle, don't do it.
Dear Ebenezer, may you be happy in the life you have chosen.
But Belle, Belle, no, Spirit, show me no more. Why do you torture me? Remove me. I cannot bear it. Haunt me no longer. No longer.
The whole scene disappeared, and Scrooge found himself once more alone back upon his bed. He drifted off to sleep, only to be awakened again by the stroke of one. He gradually noticed a great blaze of ruddy light glowing from beneath the door. Something was in the outer room.
Come on in, Ebenezer Scrooge. Come on in, buddy.
Scrooge opened the door and beheld his own sitting room transformed. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked like a perfect grove. Around the blazing fire lay a feast of meats and fruits and seething bowls of punch. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see. He bore a glowing torch shaped like Plenty's horn and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Come on in, buddy. Come in. Know me better, man. I'm the ghost of Christmas present. You've never seen the like of me.
You are a lively one, aren't you, Spirit? Conduct me where you will, but possibly not to your home in Alabama. I went forth last night on compulsion and learned a lesson which is working now. Tonight, if you ought to teach me, let me profit by it.
Very well. Touch my robe.
And instantly, they were transported to the streets of London on a bright Christmas day. The shops were bustling with jolly people completing their errands or returning from church. The grocers, the poultry and fruit shops, all were busy and all a delight. Presently, Scrooge and the Spirit came to Camden Town, to a humble house on a humble street.
This is the home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit, his wife, and six children. Why are we here, Spirit?
What has ever got your precious father, Ben? Is he at a toy sale? And your brother, Tiny Tim?
Oh, but here's Martha, Mother. Hooray!
Sorry I'm late, Mother. We had a great deal of work to finish up last night and to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind. So long as you are come, sit ye down by the fire, my dear, and have a warm, Lord bless ye.
No, Father's coming. Hide, Martha, hide. Father, Father!
Ah, Peter, Melinda, Frederick, Harriet. Why, where's our Martha?
She's not coming.
Not coming? Not coming upon Christmas Day.
Here I am, Father. Merry Christmas!
How did little Tim behave at church, Bob? Was he a good boy?
Oh, good as gold, Mother. And better, eh, Tim?
They sang ever so nice, Mother. I hope the people saw me in the church. Because I'm a cripple. And it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, bless you, my raspy son. See, Mother, his heart is strong, and he will get better. I know it.
Get him a smoke, honey, will you?
Oh, let's play a game. Father, play the memory game with us, please, please.
Yes, and then we'll sing some songs thanks to Tiny Tim's bass voice. Oh, look!
Oh, smell that double cheeseburger. Hurrah! Look, look, there was never such a double cheeseburger, never.
I think you meant goose, Tim. All right, be seated. Here you go. Take your turn now. There's plenty of stuffing, potatoes, and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, dear, sit next to Tiny Tim and make sure he eats plenty. He must get strong and well. He should quit smoking. If anything should happen to him...
Oh, Mother, don't even think that. I'll see that he eats well, cheeseburgers and all. Here, Tim.
Quiet, please, quiet. Oh, such a feast requires a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
Bless us, God. Bless us all.
This is a very religious family. God bless us. Everyone.
God bless us.
Tell me, Spirit. Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat, buddy, by the chimney, in a crutch without an owner. Carefully preserved, if these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will kick it.
No, Spirit, no. Oh, please, Spirit. Be kind. Say he will be spared.
Why, if he be like to die, He had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, so now you will use my words, my own words, against me.
Yes, buddy, perhaps in the future. You will hold your tongue until you have disappeared. What the surplus population is and where it is, it may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Here's the punch, steaming hot. Now, take your turn. There's enough for a toast. And one after that.
A toast to Christmas.
Here. I would like to propose a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast. To you, Mr. Scrooge.
No.
What?
Him? No, Father, no.
Please.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had Mr. Scrooge here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon. I hope he'd have a good appetite for it, too.
Oh, my dear, it's Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake, dear, in the days, but not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
Come on, Ebenezer, buddy, to a gathering across town.
Ah, my nephew Fred and his wife Kate and their many, many hungry friends.
And then he said Christmas was a humbug, as I live, and he believed it, too.
More shame for him, Fred.
Oh, he's a comical old fellow, that's the truth, and not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him.
I'm sure he's very rich. At least you always tell me so.
Yeah, what of that, dear wife? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it.
I have no patience with him.
No. Well, I have, and I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims himself? Always. I mean, to give him the same chance. I'm going to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not.
Topper, still playing blind's man's bluff? Oh.
Come now, Topper, my fellow. Kate's sister knows you cheat. I think.
Oh, a furnishings. Let's play at forfeits.
Yeah, yes. No.
The game of yes and no. Think of something, dear husband, and we have to find out what.
All right. Quick now, ask away.
Vegetable.
No.
Animal.
Yes.
A friendly animal.
No.
Disagreeable.
Yes.
Savage.
Yes.
Grunts and growls. Talks.
Yes to both, sometimes.
Lives in London? In a menagerie?
Yes and no.
Walks the streets?
Oh, yes.
Horse?
No.
Then it's a bull?
No.
Cougar?
No.
A bear?
No, but almost.
I found it out, Fred. I know what it is.
You do? What is it?
It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Yes. He's given us plenty of merriment, I am sure. And it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. Here's a glass of mulled wine ready to our hand at the moment. So here, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever he is. He wouldn't take it from me. But he may have it, just the same. To Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge!
Come on, Ebenezer, buddy. There's much more to see. Men who keep Christmas in their hearts. Come on.
Much they saw, and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close to home. By poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, jail, in misery's every refuge, the spirit of Christmas left his blessing and taught Scrooge as he went. At last, they returned to the streets of London for the spirit's final lesson. But the spirit had aged.
My life upon this globe, buddy, is very brief. My time with you, however, is almost done. Have you gained by what I have shown you of the good of in most men's hearts?
don't know. How can I promise? Perhaps I'm too old to change.
If it is too hard a lesson to learn, then look upon these. Look here. Under my robe?
Bloody.
What? What? Two frightful, hideous, miserable children, yellow, meager, scowling spirit. Are they yours?
They are men's children. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both and all of their degree. The most of all, but most of all, beware this boy. For on this, thank you. On this brow I was that written which is doom. Unless the writing is erased. Without the spirit of Christmas, it's comfort them. Narrow Puritanism and greed would release these wretched beings upon the world.
Maybe, spirit, you could show up for rehearsal.
Or get some reading glasses.
Oh, sorry. Spirit's hungover.
But spirit, have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no workhorses? Are there no prisons? Sorry about that. Are there no workhouses?
Way to go, buddy!
Are there no prisons?
Two and a half spirits.
Are there no prisons? I can't see. Somebody. Buddy.
And with that, the ghost of Christmas present dissolved into the mist, and Scrooge stood alone upon the street. As the last stroke of midnight rang, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting his eyes, he beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground toward him.
I am in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You are much more frightening than the second spirit. I wasn't fearful of him whatsoever. Felt kind of bad for him. He said something of a hangover. You're about to show me shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but things that will happen. Spirit, will you not speak to me? Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on. The night is waning fast, and it's precious time to me. Lead on, spirit. Why, it's my accustomed corner at the Royal Exchange among the merchants. There are my fellow businessmen, as I have often seen them.
I don't know much about it either way. I only know that he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Well, old Scratch has got his own at last, eh?
So I am told.
What has he done with all of his money?
His company, perhaps. He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know.
Well, it's likely to be a very cheap funeral for, upon my life, I don't know of anybody to go to it.
I don't mind going if a lunch is provided.
Spirit, why show me this trivial conversation? They can't be discussing the death of my old partner, Jacob. Is there some hidden purpose? Spirit, where is my own shadow? I expect the conduct of my future self to provide some latent moral for my own improvement. I've been resolving to change my life, and I hope you can show me my newborn resolutions being carried out, spirit. Oh, but what obscure part of town are we in now, spirit? This whole quarter reeks with crime, with filth, with misery. Why bring me to this low-browed, this beetling hovel, rag and bottle shop? Who are these grotesque people?
Look here, old Joe. Let the charwoman be the first. Let the laundress be the second. And let the undertaker's man be third.
Ah, then, what you got to sell? What have you got to sell?
Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed. If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he a natural in his lifetime?
Mrs. Tilbrack!
Well, if he had been, he'd have had somebody to look after him when he was struck with death instead of lying there gasping out his last alone by himself.
The truest word that ever was spoken. It's a judgment on him, it is. What's this? Bed curtains?
Ah, yes. Bed curtains.
You don't mean to say that you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
Why not? Don't drop that oil upon the blankets now.
His blankets, too?
And this fine shirt. It's the best he had. They'd have wasted it by dressing him up. If it hadn't been for me.
Oh, spirit. I see. I see the case of this unhappy man might be my own. My life tends that way now. What is this? What is this dark, empty house? A bare, uncurtained bed, the shrouded body of this plundered, unknown man. He lay there with no one to say he was kind to me. And for the memory of one kind word, I will be kind to him. Spirit, you point to the head of this corpse. Do you wish me to remove the cover? Spirit, this is a fearful place. I wish to leave it. I wish to leave it. I shall not leave its lesson. Trust me, Spirit. Let's go, please. I understand you. And I would do it if I could, but I have not the power, Spirit. I have not the power. Spirit, let me see some tenderness connected with a death. Well, this dark chamber will be forever present to me. Oh, Spirit. Spirit, once more, we are at the home of Bob Cratchit. And it is different. It is so quiet. What is that, Spirit? What kind of Christmas is this?
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them and answered, I say unto you that none but those who are as humble as little children shall enter into heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me.
Stop it, Peter. Please stop reading. My son, Tiny Tim.
Mother, please don't cry. Father will be home soon. Don't let him know you've been crying.
He's late tonight, Martha. When he had Tiny Tim on his shoulder, he would walk very fast indeed. But the child was so light to carry, and Father loved him so. It was no trouble. No trouble at all.
Here's Father now.
I'm sorry I'm late, Mother. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you so good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised. I promised Tim. I promised Tim that we'd walk there on Sundays.
Bob.
Oh, little child. My little child.
Spectre, something informs me that a parting moment is at hand. Tell me, what man was that? What man did we see lying dead? Spirit, where are we now? No! Merciful heaven, a dismal, ruinous churchyard, desolate, lonely, crumbling graves. Here then is the wretched man. He lay underneath the ground in this grave. Before I draw nearer to that stone, tell me, Spirit, are these the shadows of things that will be? Are they the shadows of things that may only be? Spirit, that gravestone, what is written upon it? Wait! The name on the grave is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge, no! No, Spirit, why show me this if I am past all hope?
Am I to become like Jacob Marley, like the other cursed ghost? Chained, wandering the earth forever? No, spirit! Hear me. I am not the man I was. Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows. I'll honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try to keep it in all the year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and not shut out the lessons they teach. I pray, please, spirit, that I may sponge away the writing on the stone. I beg you, I'll change. I'll change. I pray. I pray. I'll change. Please. Please. Wait. What's this? My bedpost. I'm home. I'm home in my own bed. In my own room. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven in the Christmas time be praised. I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I am as light as a feather, as happy as an angel, as merry as a schoolboy, as giddy as a drunken man, yet not so drunk as Fezziwig or Spirit Number Two. Oh, glorious light, fresh air, the window! Why, merry, merry, merry Christmas, what am I?
Oh, me, it's my cat. Happy New Year, sir.
Boy? Hey, boy, what's today? What day is it, my fine young fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Oh, this is fantastic. Boy, do you know the Poulterers on the next street at the corner?
That's my dog.
Yes, apparently.
Yes. You want to pet my dog?
I'd rather stay here, Spirit. I seem to be so excited about the Poulterers.
I should, I hope.
Yes, you should. Do you know whether the Poulterers sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
What? The one as big as me? It's hanging there now.
It is! Well, here, go buy it. Go buy it for me, young man. Go buy it!
Walker?
No, I'm in earnest. Go and buy it and tell him to bring it here that I may give it away. Go, young man, go and take your dog with you.
Scrooge sent the boy to buy the prize turkey and have it delivered to the Cratchit family as an anonymous gift. Then the new Ebenezer Scrooge dressed himself all in his best and got out into the streets of London. By this time, people were pouring forth, and Scrooge regarded all with a delighted smile and hearty holiday greeting.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
By mere chance, Scrooge came upon the charity seekers he had dismissed yesterday, but today he apologized and made a large donation to their worthy cause, with many back payments included. He went to church, walked about the streets, watched the people hurrying to and fro. He patted children on the head, questioned beggars, and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything, could give him so much happiness. In the afternoon, he turned his steps to the door of his nephew, Fred, who was in the midst of Christmas dinner with his wife and their many hungry friends.
Uncle Ebenezer, why, I can't believe you're really here at my home on Christmas.
I come to beg your pardon, Fred, for the things I said about Christmas. That truly was a humbug.
Was it? Well, I don't know what to say. Well, do come in. May I present my wife, Kate?
Ah, yes.
Uncle Ebenezer, I never expected this of you.
Oh, Kate, can you forgive an old fool? And God forgive me for the time that I've wasted.
Well, join the feast, Uncle. Set another place at the table here, Kate. Here. I propose a toast. A toast to Uncle Scrooge.
To Uncle Scrooge.
You guys are quick.
We're all drunk.
Thank you.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge rejoined his family and rejoined the family of man. The next morning, he was early at the office. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late, that was the thing he had set his heart upon. And was Bob ever late? The clock had struck 9. No Bob. Quarter past. No Bob. Finally.
Mr. Cratchit? What do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
Oh, I am very, very sorry, sir. Mm-hmm. I am behind my time. It shall not be repeated. Mm-hmm. I was, well, rather making merry yesterday, sir.
Merry indeed, Bob Cratchit. I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer, blah, blah, blah. And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Oh, please, sir, you're going to raise my salary?
Yes, yes. Bob, I've not lost my senses. I've found them. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I could have given for many, many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon. Now, possibly over a Christmas bowl of something called Smoking Bishop. Bob, Merry Christmas.
Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. And it was always said that Ebenezer Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
This story was adapted for radio by Tony Palermo. If our little production has provided you good cheer, then you have only to thank Charles Dickens, the true founder of our feast. But we have some others to thank as well. Chief Engineer Bill Murdoch, Bill Malone of our engineering department, Margaret Larkin, Jason Skaggs, Natasha the promotions intern, Rachel Woodall, Eric Sekviar, Evan McLean, and of course, we probably couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for Bob, Roy, Wally, Spike, and Carol Hankner.
And Kevin.
That guy, too. I love him.
Thanks, Steve.
The great Kevin Powell. And Merry Christmas, all, from Chicago's very own.
Carol
720 WGN.
Hankner!